Satan wants nothing more than to get you out of God's church. There's nothing more that he wants than to get into your mind and send you off track. He's probably not going to do that by trying to get you involved in a pride movement or get you into a crime gang or entice you to rob a bank. No, he's going to get a little thought or emotion to send you off slightly in the wrong direction. That's a very sobering thought, isn't it? More than anything else in the whole universe, this spirit being Satan wants to upend God's plans, and removing you from being in God's church is the way that he thinks he's going to do that. He wants to drive a wedge between you and God. Somewhere, he wants to introduce a bad attitude that he can work on and turn into a bigger spiritual problem. I'm thinking of a particular attitude today. It's a very common one and can be caused by all sorts of situations around us. We need to be aware of it and be able to defend ourselves from getting it established in our minds. The emotion or attitude that I'm thinking of is envy. Envy. Let's start with a definition of the word envy. Envy is a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck. Another definition is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. So it's when somebody has a physical possession, like a better house or a better car, or it could be that someone has a better skill or an ability, or some kind of a great opportunity. Another definition is to feel displeasure or hatred towards someone for their good fortune or possessions. Envy is an emotion which occurs when a person lacks another's quality, skill, achievement, or possession, or either desires it or wishes that the other lacked it. Notice that part, or wishes that the other lacked it. So it's more than just a coveting something. Envy can also be desire to be better than another, either raising oneself up or wishing to pull down the other beneath oneself. There's an element of malice involved in envy that may not be in just mere coveting. Let's look at a biblical example of envy that fits these definitions. Let's look at 1 Samuel 18 and verse 9, where we'll see the story of Saul and David. It's 1 Samuel 18 and verse 9. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul could see that David had achieved some great success here, and that everyone was talking about it and celebrating it, celebrating David more than himself. Saul was envious, and he was angry that he had been outdone. Someone else was getting all the glory, and he wasn't. You can see how this feeling of envy went on to grow in Saul, because just two verses down here, Saul is hurling a spear at David with the intent to pin him to the wall. That's how quickly an attitude like envy can take hold of a person and drive them to make very foolish decisions. We may think that we're not like Saul, and we feel like we have this problem of envy under control in our lives. But there may be a time when something does hurt us. Something may happen that does activate this response in our hearts. We need to be on guard. Satan will find something in us that we care about, and he will use it to perhaps place an ugly thought in our minds. Maybe someone gets that job promotion when you're expecting to get it yourself. Maybe it's some young upstart that you thought, and you thought you were the more experienced. You feel like you deserve that promotion more than he did. Maybe someone you know is able to afford the latest electronic device and you can't. Maybe someone has the time and money to take luxurious vacations and you don't. Or as we read earlier, maybe someone has a certain talent that you don't, but you wish you had. Maybe you see someone that can play a musical instrument better than you can, or are better at a certain sport, or a better public speaker, better at making friends or making people feel good. In this modern world, it seems that there are more and more ways that envy can get to us. Online, people like to post pictures of the best parts of their lives and boast about how wonderful everything is. People like to gloat about how much money they've made and how little work they had to do for it, or how they're living the dream because they've hit the jackpot. In actuality, very little of what we see is real anymore. It's all designed to make us discontent and resentful, even envious of others who look like they have it better than we do. In the church, we strive not to be materialistic and not to be chasing after the things of this world. But does that make us immune from the problem of envy? The Apostle Paul didn't think so. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, he feared that when he would visit the church there, he would find envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, and arrogance. Other places in the Bible where envy is referred to are in Galatians 5. It's included as one of the works of the flesh. Romans 1 verse 29, it says, envy is compared to fornication and murder and deceit. Envy is not good for us health-wise. In Proverbs 14 and verse 30, it says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. The first murder really seems to be over envy. Cain was envious that Abel was pleasing God with his offerings, more so than his own. Joseph's brothers clearly envied him and tried to have him removed. And Christ's death had a lot to do with envy. As it says, it is recorded that Pontius Pilate knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. That's in Mark 15, verse 10. So envy is a way that Satan uses to chip away at our character, like he's using a pry bar to loosen us away from our foundation. Most of the time, envy might not affect us, but all it takes is that one time, that one thing that gets under our skin, gets us dwelling on negativity and resentment. So let's have a think about some defenses against envy. What can we do to make ourselves stronger, more resilient to this problem? Well, the first defense is just being aware of this problem of envy. Hopefully discussing the subject today is a reminder to be on the lookout. It's easy to forget these things and get caught out by an issue if we just put it behind us and think that it will never bother us. The second defense is to have a deep love of other individuals. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that charity envies not. If you have a genuine love for someone, you're going to be happy for them if you have an outflowing love for them and really want the best for them. Let's look at Philippians 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. So this is really a key way that we're going to fight this problem of envy if we put someone else's interests before ours. When we see someone who buys that better house or that better car or gets that job promotion, we're going to be happy for them. That's going to be our first concern, is to be happy for them, not to be thinking about what we should be having, but thinking about how happy we are for them and pray and rejoicing with them and being happy for them. It leads me to another scripture in Romans 12 and verse 10, where it says, it talks about rejoicing with them that rejoice. We don't need to be thinking about whether we've had the same blessing that someone else has received. That should be irrelevant. We should be able to be happy for someone irrelevant of what we ourselves have. That's the attitude of brotherly love, of outgoing love to our neighbour. The third defence is to act quickly. We can find all sorts of horrifying thoughts in our minds. Satan can put any thought he wants there. The important thing is, what do we do about it when we find it there? Do we allow ourselves to mull it over, consider it for days? Or do we put it out immediately and completely, stopping it at its source? We need to be aware of the problem so that we can spot it, root it out as soon as we see it. Stop it quickly. Stopping it quickly will prevent it from growing and growing into a bigger, more ugly and stubborn character trait. And the fourth defense is to realize that we are all different. Realizing that we are each given a different set of circumstances. We all have the same calling and the same promises from God, in the church at least. But the way that God is working with each of us is different. We need to try and see ourselves from God's point of view. Only He knows what we are dealing with and the paths our lives need to take. Remember the parable of the talents. Each servant was given a different number of talents. One had 5 talents, one had 3 talents, and the last had 1 talent. You can see this parable in Matthew 25. If we were the servant who was given 1 talent, would we be looking at the other 2 wondering why they were given more talents than us? We were just given the 1 talent, but the others have been given 3 and 5. Would we be looking at them, envying them? If we do, we're going to be distracted from doing the job that we're supposed to be doing. We need to remain focused on doing the job that God has set before us with what we've been given. So we need to remain focused on the job ahead, while rejoicing with and for those around us when they receive their blessings. Remembering to keep our defenses up, identifying the problem, acting quickly, having brotherly love, and keeping our eyes on the goal ahead.